Yo, 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 what it do? It's a brand new week of the On Deck TV podcast. This week, we bringing you the ranking of the catalog of Mr. Snowman himself. That's right. We're going to let you know what we think about all of Jeezy's albums. As always, the show is brought to you by Realville Media. Go to realvillemedia.com. Check out everything. Get you a brand new t-shirt right in time for the holidays. And check out all the other shows on the network.
Absolutely, man. All the other shows include FSP, Full Sport Press, every Monday. Check out their latest episode of the NBA All Go to War team. Okay, if you had to scrap with somebody in the NBA, who you want on your side? It's a very valid question. Find out who the fellas picked on FSP. Check out the Ladies Room. Also, shout out Rizzo and Anne-Marie in New York holding us down. Their latest episode is up. Oversharing on social media. Please listen to that. So I ain't got to see that shit when I'm scrolling on my IG and Twitter feeds, please. Also, last but not least, Fresh for Dummies. We are discussing Jordan Brand's 2018 strategy. They back to limited. How you feel about that? I don't know. I'm kind of sad about it. But listen to that to get more insight. But first, of course, let's get to Jeezy, the Snowman, and his rap shit. What it do with the business is.
It's another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown, a.k.a. the Husky Vegan, a.k.a. ASAP Broccoli.
Oh, my God.
That's hard, though. Now, keep it real. That's hard.
No, dude, ASAP Broccoli.
That's hard. That's you know it. I know it. The listeners know it. That's in the top three. Shout out to whoever threw me that oop. I appreciate it. I'm not going to take the credit for that. Somebody threw me that oop.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You want to hate so bad. I mean,
y'all can have it. Y'all can have it. Y'all can have the vegetarian themed names. Have at it. What up, man? What you have up for the weekend?
Man, what I watch? I watched the Denzel movie, Roman J. Esquire.
Roman J. Esquire.
Yeah, whatever.
What was Roman talking about?
It was some look cool.
Some look cool. That's all.
Yeah, just some look cool. Denzel bodied it.
Just because Denzel was in there, it was cool.
He bodied it. The story could have been better.
That's a given.
And it's a lawyer drama, so it's a little bit of a slow burn. You know how that shit go.
That's my type of movie.
You might check it. You might fuck with it then. I liked it. It's not no slaw. It's just I'm not. You ain't got to rush out and go see it tomorrow.
I might check that out.
And I watched She's Gotta Have It too on Netflix.
The whole season.
I got like two episodes left.
There's no way you ran through that like that.
I tried when it first came out, and the first episode is atrocious. And so I didn't get past that until a couple of people were like, nah, like, check it out. The first episode trash, but check out the rest of it. It actually get better. Really? And it actually do get better.
I ain't checking for that at all.
First episode garbage,
though. I seen this weekend Show Me a Hero. It was a mini series on
terrible.
HBO. That shit was fire. You know, HBO do that thing with the miniseries. It's sort of like Night Of. It's like 8 episodes. It's based on them trying to put public housing in the suburbs in Yonkers, New York, in like the 90s.
Yonkers B.
That shit was fire.
What's it called?
Show Me a Hero.
That's a terrible really name good. For what you just described.
Nah, because.
Who's the hero?
Exactly. Everybody was fighting against this common cause, and really nobody had a reason, and they were trying to say who's the hero here, but it was fire, especially with the ending and that name. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. But y'all go check that out, man. That's fire. It's pretty much what I had up this weekend. It was some good football this weekend for those of you who ain't still on NFL strike.
Absolutely, man. Good sports.
Your boy coming back, ain't he?
Who?
Aaron Rodgers be back next week.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to him tonight. You know what I'm saying? See how the shoulder feeling. You feel me? The collarbone.
Discount double check on deck, don't you?
I'm just plugged out here in these streets. All right, man, a lot of rap shit to talk about.
Really, it ain't, though.
It was
a slow week.
It was a slow news week, but there's a lot of music that came out.
A whole lot
though.
Of music came out.
A whole lot of music. Shitload of music. Semi slow news week.
Shout out to Dissect Podcast, man.
He wrapped it up.
Snipping on there. He wrapped it up today. He was doing the My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. That was an amazing podcast. If you didn't get to check that out, man,
great
check
season.
Out the Dissect Podcast.
I submitted my voice memo and he played it. Good looking, big dog.
Yeah, man. Appreciate that.
That just shows how profound it is what I was saying.
Just going to call another grown man big dog. You don't know?
Yeah, Big Daddy. Well, that's fam. What do you mean?
That's fam.
Absolutely. Right. That's how we talk in the South, man. Where are you from?
We talking the South.
You've
been
right.
in Atlanta too long, man. That's what it is.
Clearly.
What up, dog?
What up, dog?
No, it's just one word. Big dog is one word in Atlanta. What up, dog?
All right, man. Let's get to an update. Mm-hmm. I know we're starting out with the bullshit. The cause of the death of Little Pete was finally revealed.
Okay.
According to a toxicology report, easy for me to say. Huh. This is what he had in his system. Blood tested positive for marijuana, tramadol, which mm-hmm. apparently is a painkiller, cocaine. His urine tested positive for all of the above, and hydrocodone, oxycodone, oxymorphone, and Dilaudid. I don't know how to say that.
Dilaudid. Yeah. Like that.
Basically everything except alcohol. I'm not gonna act like I'm a pharmacist, so I don't know half of what that shit is, but it just seems like a lot of shit. I don't know. They say it was an accidental overdose. I'm not really sure how they determined that.
That it was accidental?
Yeah.
You think he was trying to kill himself?
No, I don't know. I just want to know how they determined it, when it's accidental versus when it's not accidental. Do you have any insight to that? Because I have no fucking clue.
I just assumed that they didn't think that he was trying to kill himself. I think that they call it accidental because he parties on those drugs consistently.
He had a lot of shit, though. I mean, how high are you trying to get?
Probably he was trying to get down.
Okay.
I mean, if they say that he was suffering like from the mental stuff that he was suffering from, then that probably was like what is it? Self-medicating.
That's a lot of medication.
I mean, he going out smiling for what, 10, 20,000 people every night?
Some of these were painkillers, too.
Yeah, painkillers. What is Xanax? Anxiety. Weed for like anxiety, stuff like this. So, I mean, I could see it, especially with his videos and stuff that he had. I see that.
That shit crazy. All right, man, moving on, man. Taking it to the West Coast. YG and Ty Dolla $ign had a lawsuit on their hand. Not anymore. They just settled to avoid court. Apparently, they whooped somebody's ass in Australia, man. It was a soccer player named Nelly Yawa.
Ain't just no somebody. Don't do Nelly Yawa like it.
Nelly Yawa, he a big dog in Australia?
He's a professional soccer player.
Okay.
I don't know about big dog.
Allegedly, he refused to move from the VIP area of a club in Melbourne, Australia, where YG and Ty Dolla $ign was trying to kick it. He claims they whooped his ass because he didn't move. And the settlement is said to be in the low six figures. You think it was smart for them to settle for that size of amount?
Man, I don't think it was smart for them to run up on Nelly Yoa. If you don't know Nelly Yoa.
Elaborate, please.
Nelly Yoa is a professional football player, soccer,
in
the United States. But he was also ran up on by Sudanese, how you say it? Sudan, whatever the Sudan
somebody
people are
from
called.
Sudan.
Yeah, somebody from Sudan. Actually, a gang of people from Sudan with machetes ran up on this dude. He was trying to protect some guy that he met 2 weeks ago. It wasn't a relationship like that. They were just friends. But he was trying to protect guy. He met him 2 weeks ago. He protected him from machetes.
Okay.
But anyway, with that being said, he got kicked off his professional soccer team in Australia after the melee because he was unable to perform. He was put in the wheelchair. So I feel like he seen Ty Dolla $ign and YG coming like it wasn't no.
That's
like,
light work.
That's light work.
And then he got whooped, though.
I can work these two little L.A. thugs, so I can at least take his ass whooping for 100K. He ain't losing in that. Yeah, I'm not going nowhere if I'm Nelly. Y'all ain't kicking me out anywhere. I've seen worse.
I'm surprised that they settled. That means usually when people settle, that's some type of admission of guilt.
Yeah, they whipped his ass.
Okay.
They whipped his
ass. Did they do it or did some niggas that was with them do
it? In the video on TMZ, Ty Dolla $ign got up and ran towards what we seen that was going on. And he never came back.
Okay.
And the video cut off. So it looked like he was putting in work too. So they might have got off light. What's 50,000? They made that
50,000 a piece.
Yeah, what's that?
That's true. That's light. Still, you don't want to get that for no reason, though.
And this ain't just no bum, dude. He probably had a good lawyer. He already had money, so he was able to go in and put the pressure on him. This would have been bad press. Get him out of here. Give him this 100,000. Let him go.
That's funny.
I don't even think he's a professional soccer player no more.
Yeah, not if you fight niggas with machetes. You know he took an L.
Ain't done it me.
You fought a nigga with a homeboy that you knew for 2 weeks? Like, bro. What kind of,
He about that life, man. To run up on Nelly Yoa.
So you can get sued for 100 bands, too? Fuck out of here. All right, man. Moving on to more important matters. Little B.
Oh, my
God.
Little B, my guy, the bass guy, protect him at all costs. He took to social media, man, with a very special message. He says, and I quote, "What university wants to let Little B learn at your institution? I'm very interested in science and biology and also neuroscience.
Not fashion.
I want to offer more to the American people and globally as well.
And animals, right?
No, as well as animals.
Don't forget the animals.
What university will accept me? I did not finish high school." Mm. Now, of course.
Did he finish grade school?
That's just hate.
Do we know?
Have you listened to his music? Of course he finished grade school.
That's why I asked, because I've heard his music. So wondering like where he was able to do that.
Now, of course, school offers came pouring in as they should.
They came pouring in.
Absolutely.
As they should, you say.
Yes. Do you blame the schools for reaching out to Little B trying to get him to attend?
Much to your dismay, I actually don't. Like, this is pub. This is the age of social media. Hip hop is the most popular genre there is. So if I could get Lil B to even come to my campus, if he will respond to a tweet,
retweet,
yeah,
something.
Just retweet it. If I'm Arizona State, if I'm like Marshall, if I'm Texas A&M, if I'm any of these little, well, not those are big schools, but yeah, if I'm any school that tweets him like just on a popularity thing, if he does anything, if he shows up, retweets me, that helps me. I don't care if he come or not. And if he do come, he shows up to a couple classes, take a couple pictures, let him speak, whatever it may be. You remember your boy Big Head on the HBO show Silicon Valley when he got teaching
gig. Sure. That was
hilarious. That'll be Lil B. I'm teaching. Hey guys, like that's him.
Don't cheat so Lil B like that.
I ain't mad at him. Well, he ain't dropping off no knowledge.
Yeah, clearly
we're not
is.
Expecting him to pull a Killer Mike or a Bun B. Nothing like that, are we?
No. What I'm expecting him to do is to go there and learn neuroscience and change the world, like he said he was trying.
You want to get him
to
operate on your brain?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
but maybe
seems like he already has.
Maybe somebody in the next generation will let him do
like
that.
He already has.
Now, like I said, offers came pouring in. Let me name you some of these prestigious universities.
Prestigious.
Penn State. LSU. Auburn. University of South Carolina. And Miami University, just to name a few.
SEC came in.
That's what they smart. Because like you said,
you don't even know what the SEC is.
I don't need to know. These colleges are smart. Whoever's working their PR teams on Twitter are smart. They have their finger on the pulse of what's going on. If Little B says he wants to learn science, you absolutely reach out to him. We don't give a shit if you got a GED or you didn't graduate high school. You're Little B.
Let's keep it a million.
Okay.
If this is 21 Savage, if this is
same result,
G Herbo,
same.
If this is Lil Bibby,
if
this is Lil Bibby, if this is Chief Keef, same thing. Lil B's not special.
No.
It's the new age. It's the new era. If these schools can look cool, it's just like with the corporate accounts burning each other and dissing each other, like
Wendy's and McDonald's
goes
and shit.
In. Yeah, like
that should be funny.
It's funny. You know what I'm saying? So that's the new thing that we in. So any school that trolls hops on Twitter, put together this little nice little promo funny video, once registration time comes around, like, people gonna look their way. I think it's smart too.
Very, very smart. Little B has a lot to share with the world. Okay, don't try to hold him back and block him.
He ain't got nothing to
teach him. Science and neuroscience and whatever it is that he wants to learn, he can change the world.
He already has, allegedly.
Watch when he get that Nobel Peace
Prize.
You said he's
influential. Watch when he get that Nobel Peace Prize.
Just watch. Don't believe me. Just watch.
All right. Say less. Say less.
All right, man. Let's get to the bag. Let's move to the bag.
All right.
Forbes released their top 25 highest paid musicians list, like they always do about this time. Very surprising leaders at the top, considering how different it looks from last year. Let me give you the top five. Diddy, number one.
Let's go.
Beyonce, number two.
Brother Love.
Drake, number three. The Weeknd, number four. And Coldplay, number five. Now, let's compare that to last year's top five.
Who was it?
Number one was Taylor Swift. Number two was One Direction. Number three was Adele. Number four was Madonna. And number five was Rihanna. One African-American person on the top five last year. Four this year.
Mm. More importantly, three hip-hops. Jay-Z, he's down the list, 42 million.
I was just about to say, any significance in this list in the names that you see?
Jay-Z, Drake, Diddy. I feel like those are going to be the names that you're going to see on this list for the next Jay-Z for the next 5-6 years, unless him and Beyonce do like a couples tour.
And they're going to be number one for the next 5 or 6 years.
Then they'll be number one. Puff, I mean, Puff going to puff. Like, Brother Love gonna keep spreading black excellence. And you know what? I ain't mad at, man. I'm not mad at continuously reading Puff name at the top of this list.
Nah, that ain't got old yet.
I ain't mad at that yet, because every time that I've heard him talk, even since he's become Brother Love, and he's spreading black excellence,
right?
Like, he ain't doing nothing but motivating, man. Puff ain't on no arrogant shit. He trying to spread the love. He trying to get everybody to the bag. I'm feeling Puff in this number one Forbes spot on his way to a billion. I'm fucking with this Puff.
Puff has been a mainstay on all of these lists for the last 10, 15 years. Love, Puff, Dre, Hove, in some way, shape, or form, always show up. You're 100% right. It doesn't get old. Here's the thing that I'm interested in. People are not tired of Puff's shtick, if that's what you want to call it. But you can see people getting thin on DJ Khaled and people like that. Like, what's the difference in a Khaled positivity movement and a nigga calling himself Brother Love? Why is Puff not old yet with what he's pushing? That's what I want to know, because people hate on Khaled.
That's true.
I see it all the time.
Puff produced more. Like, not in a literal sense as far as producing music, but like when Puff talk, shit happen. Like, a great line off of that Bad Boy documentary.
Fire documentary, by the way.
When the chick was trying to tell him, like, it was something wrong with the lighting, right? Right. And he was like, what is this? Like, he walked in and they had got the stage set up and it looked normal. Yeah. He was like, well, what is this? And she was trying to explain to him that they couldn't get something in and they couldn't get this in. And he was like, baby girl, that ain't my world. I don't live in a world where you can't do shit. I'm Puff. Yep. If I need it done, I'm getting it done. And somebody could say that and you would be like, this nigga arrogant shithead motherfucker. But yeah,
you believe it.
We've seen Puff move. Like, from making a motherfucker walk to Brooklyn to get the cheesecake to having Biggie sitting in there for however long making Juicy. Like, he produces. And not to say that Khaled don't produce, but he don't produce to the level of annoyance that he puts out to say that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just don't.
Let's be honest. Puff's resume, it speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. Khaled doesn't have the same resume yet.
Yeah.
But if he keeps doing this thing and keeps producing and keeps showing results, then that's another story.
Well, I think that's going to be Drake, though.
What you mean?
That's that next Brother Love and that Puff who we're never going to get tired of Drake. Like, we're never going.
I don't know, though.
Bro, watch. As soon as you get tired of him, he's going to host the ESPYs. He's going to go do Saturday Night Live.
He's going to be in a movie. He's
going to hook up with your favorite underground rapper. He's going to be with your favorite overseas rapper. He gonna do some funny shit on a movie. He gonna be sitting courtside at your favorite game or with your favorite college team. It's like, he gonna do it. He gonna be on a commercial with his dad. Like, to hate all of that, if you hate all of that,
you're just a hater.
You're just a hater. Like, it's something out there for you that Drake doing. And that's why I say he gonna be the next one. He gonna take that mantle when Puff finally get through Brother Loving. He gonna go on and take it around with, cause he already on the what, 94?
Yeah, he 94 million.
Like, Drake on his heels now. But, like, I think Drake going to get it all together. He going to get the liquor line right. Him and Apple going to have that big deal. Him and Chance and Apple, they finna, like, change music. And that's what's going to put Drake over Puff.
Yeah, Puff sitting at 130 comfortably at the top. Beyonce was number two, 105. No slouch, bringing in $105 million.
So, her and Jay combined 149? 147.
That's a power couple.
And she made 105. Yep.
The Weeknd was my biggest surprise, though. 92 million.
I didn't know that people was into The Weeknd like that.
Don't cheat The Weeknd.
I didn't know that.
I said I was surprised at 94 million. You're claiming like niggas don't know who he is.
Nah, I didn't know. I didn't know that many people were into him. Like, I knew a couple of songs were high, but I didn't know that, like, The Weeknd was going out here, like, selling out arenas. I didn't know that. I didn't know The Weeknd was overseas and Wembley Stadium, dude. I didn't know that.
Now, it was crazy.
I didn't know he was 60,000 strong.
He used to be up under Drake. I know Drake that he missed out on signing that paperwork, because, nigga, they was a squad at first.
But see, if he, the argument can be made, if he was still up under Drake, he would have never made this, because Drake still all they songs.
Still some of they songs.
All Weeknd, the Division,
Party Next Door,
Roy Woods,
Magic Jordan.
Yeah, all of them. Like, if it's hot and it's coming out of OVO,
he gonna take them.
It's running through Aubrey first.
If he was smart, he'd let him cook.
How?
No, I'm saying,
he don't see the difference.
If I see Weeknd and I got him signed, mm-hmm, and this nigga, he's churning out bangers.
No.
Certified hits. All I need is one or two and I can go and do my thing. Nope. And I let him cook with his bangers. Nope. You spread yourself too thin if you try to take all of them, bro.
You know who
can't be everywhere at the same time
performing.
You know
performing who
Drake them.
Is?
Who?
Russell Westbrook. To you and J-Hove, like, y'all hate his game. That's who Drake is. Yeah, you can play on my team, but I'm getting the triple double, my guy. I throw you the ball when you're open, and I throw you the assist when it helped me get my triple double, my guy. But you're not going out here putting up 40.
It looks better on you when you do.
Hey, but that ain't how he's thinking. That's all I'm saying. That ain't how he thinking. That ain't how Russell Westbrook won his MVPs, and that ain't how Drake made $94 million.
He need to rethink it. He could have made 130 up there with Puff.
He could have made 180 if he had took that weekend. That's what he mad about. I could have had that goddamn hit he had.
Oh, shit. All right, man. Speaking of affiliates of Drake, Skepta, the UK rapper. That's how he, what was that? Don't do him with the big Shaq, dude. Oh, my God. He's going to hell. Skepta been making moves all year, man. Not only did he have his own Air Max 97 this year, which were fresh and I need them, but he was also featured in a promo video for Rolls Royce. In the video, he's shown riding the back like a boss while driving around the Swiss Alps. Only issue, though, he wasn't rocking a seatbelt. And road safety groups complained and had the ad pulled. Man. Fair or foul, the ad being pulled because he wasn't rocking the safety belt.
I'm not right. Who wears the seatbelt in the back seat? Y'all not finna do me
like putting
this.
The back, you're not putting the seatbelt on in the Uber?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
I'm in the back seat.
It depends on what I'm in the back seat of.
If I'm in the back seat of the Rolls Royce, I definitely ain't putting on no fucking seatbelt. I feel like they was trying to get him out of there for a whole nother reason, probably because the type of music that he does and it ain't too friendly or smiled upon. And somebody slid it in there, just barely got it through. They were like, oh, wait, he doesn't have a seatbelt on. Oh, no. Oh, my God. He doesn't have a seatbelt on. Let's get him out of here now. Come on, man.
Okay.
What kind of message is he sending by not wearing a seatbelt? He a 37-year-old man.
What's that mean?
He ain't got to wear a seatbelt in the back seat.
Hey, man, it's click it or ticket down here
in Georgia.
They don't
give you tickets in the back seat if you're not wearing a seatbelt. No.
I don't believe that.
In the back seat.
Bro, it says click it or ticket. Man, it doesn't specify what seat you're sitting in.
Only the people in the front seat got to click their tickets. Click not to get a ticket. I'm telling you.
I will say this, though. Let's be all the way honest. Riding in the back seat with a seatbelt on looks corny.
Nobody's doing it. I'm not doing it in my Rolls Royce commercial.
And especially in the back of the Ghost. It doesn't look cool, like flat out. The point of these videos, whether it be the cologne videos with the nigga on the jet ski and the nigga on the bike, they ain't got no helmets on. Ain't no safety going on in the commercial. Right. Everything is already, all precautions have been taken care of. What they should have done, what Rolls Royce should have done, was had in real small print at the end of the commercial, safety first. We advise you to wear your seatbelt. This was an enclosed blah blah blah. This was green screen. He wasn't really on the Swiss Alps. Just do that shit, and that would have saved you a whole bunch of heartache. Skepta could have got more pub and maybe got some more Nikes out here in these streets. But I will say this though: in the front seat, I got my seatbelt on at all times.
Oh yeah,
I
mean, from front seat,
motherfuckers can't drive out here, dog.
I ain't gonna try to act like we macho man and not wearing seatbelts. Though I'm definitely locking. I'm clicking it up when I'm in the front seat, passenger side or driving. That's true.
Listen. Some of our listeners might be too young, but Rescue 911 back in the day with William Shatner used to come on. And I never forget, I seen an episode where the dude flew through the front windshield because he ain't had no seatbelt on. I bullshit you not, I've had a seatbelt on ever since. Nigga, I was like 12, dude. That stuck in my head forever, man. So listen, click it or but I do be noticing it. Have you ever watched that show with what's your boy Elliot, where they in a car on Tidal and they listening? It's the car test. He riding with the artist and they listen to their new project.
I've never seen that.
Well, it be noticeable when niggas don't wear their seatbelt, though. I be peeping that. That's how ingrained in my head it is because they in the front seat. I be looking like, damn, Elliot always got his on. He like me, he washed.
Elliot wore seatbelts before you were supposed to. He was the dude telling you to put your seatbelt on.
He the nigga in the back with two seatbelts.
He rocks the back. That's what they do.
Speaking of Skepta, though, man, he just got a new track on that Harry Fraud that came out over the weekend. We mentioned a ton of shit came out. This was one of them. It was a compilation. He's got a joint with Skepta. We gonna listen to this, man. Maybe we can get into some UK rap, man. You ready?
Let's go.
Let's hear it.
Who are they? I don't know. Sitting there with the cameras open, taking sneaky pics like paparazzi. They can't wait to upload them. They're dying to post them. I catch them filming, I expose them. Don't play with my emotions. More THC, more serotonin. More THC, more serotonin. This ain't the flow that is normally chosen. Still I get dark and turn into the homie. Niggas say they got guns but don't know how to load them. I talk to the shooter on text, I never ever ever phone. Yeah, yeah, who's got beef with me? How dare you have beef with me?
Man, that was Skepta with Saratogan. How you feel about that, bro? You gonna start listening to the UK grime joints?
No, that was trash.
Was it trash?
Yeah, that was trash.
It was alright.
No, that was trash.
I can't get past the accent. I'm gonna keep it 100.
The accent pretty cool in movies and shit, though.
Yeah. In movies and Bond and shit, cool. On record, nah, I'm good.
So here is a quote from Edmund King. He's the president of the Automobile Association, who had something to do with this ad being pulled. He wasn't impressed by Skepta. He said, and I quote,
okay,
perhaps Skepta, the great grime artist, should listen to his own song, It Ain't Safe, before rapping in the back of a Rolls Royce, apparently not wearing a seatbelt. Close quote, King said.
Okay.
Now, like I said, I feel like it had a lot more to do with him just not wearing a seatbelt. Skepta responded to this with a post of him, of a seatbelt fastened and a light bulb.
That mean the check was cash, exactly. And he wasn't tripping.
Saying I got it.
Yeah, he wasn't tripping.
All of what you saying, I ain't got to go back and forth with you. I got it.
Check clear? Okay, cool. Yeah, I got you. Funny post. Yeah, I'll go ahead and post.
Ha ha.
I had a more pissed off post in the draft, but since the check cleared, I'm cool.
Check clear? Okay, we're good.
All right, man. So y'all check out that Harry Fraud, one of about 30 projects that came out over the weekend. Jesus,
good music,
called eight.
Man.
A lot of music.
Big Sean let you down.
We're going to talk about that. Don't even worry about it.
He was getting rolled on Twitter. Pause.
I saw. All right, man. But we're talking Jeezy, man. Looking ahead to what's dropping this week. A lot. 50 more albums dropping this week, including Jeezy's eighth solo album on Def Jam, that is. What's it called? It's called Pressure. I like the track list. You saw the track list and immediately said, I don't need this. Can you please elaborate on what you mean? Because you said if you could have any gangster grills, it would be a Jeezy gangster grill. That was a month ago. Now you're switching your tune?
This ain't gangster grills, though. And I feel like when we speak of the gangster grills, I was speaking of more. Even Jeezy said when I was looking at an interview recently, like if you get mixtape Jeezy, you're getting a different Jeezy. It's not the same Jeezy that you're getting with an album Jeezy. And I just feel like we haven't had mixtape Jeezy in a while. I wish he had a, like, open this up with like a little cool 5-6 song mixtape just to give us that old feel and to get us ready for Snowman. I feel like that he one of the few artists that still can pull that off. I can put a mixtape out with 5 or 6 bangers and then give you my album 2 weeks later. So that's what I meant by that. Now, when I seen the track list and what I said I didn't need it, I feel like because of the current climate of music, hip hop, I feel like that there was a half-court shot from Jeezy. Like, let me drop this shit because everybody else dropped. It's a dope year for music. Let me put a lot of hot names on here and see what happens. Now, I did hear an interview today that makes me think differently, so I'm going to hold back.
Yeah, you shouldn't have thought that in the begin with, though.
Well, I mean, look at the track list, though.
It's, bro,
when is Jeezy?
He has big names all the time. What are you talking about? He got Jay and big motherfuckers like that.
Well, I'm talking about
Andre 3000.
Not on every song, though. This is almost every song has a feature, with, like, the exception of two. So you don't see that usually with a Jeezy, especially as of late. So that's what I meant.
I'm glad you mentioned that because we're going to talk about him and his features in just a second.
Okay.
But we ranked his albums worst to first, just like how we do On Deck Style. Let's go ahead. I heard your list. You know how your list be. Mine is accurate as always. Who is your number 7 and your number 6 Jeezy albums?
First of all, honorable mention to
What's that?
Come Shop With Me, the double disc, the
soft, independent
joint. Yeah, the soft and the hard, right after the little J.
This was pre Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, this is all that. But yeah. I feel like
any rap like Trick Daddy, I don't know.
In some songs, but some songs is flat out banging. It's give you that the beginning Jeezy feel. I actually like that, though we're not ranking it better than this one I'm going to put in at number 7, which is Church in the Streets. Church in the Streets was like, I don't know what that was. I don't know who was influencing Snowman, who A&R'd that CD or told him that was a good idea, but that just didn't stick. It wasn't cool. I just didn't like it. You can't even go back and listen to it now and be like, all right, I see what he was on then and kind of get it. Like, nah, it just didn't fly.
Yeah.
So that's my 7. 6, I got 103. 103 to me, if it had another title other than 101, 102, 103, and I wasn't expecting to be in the same vein of those great CDs, then I may have given it more leeway. But being called 103 and then what I got from it, I probably listened to that CD for a week and then I was out of there with the G's. So those are my 7 and 6.
You're one for one, because number 7 is absolutely without.
We're talking about your list, man. Don't judge mine. Just talk about yours.
I'm just saying, number 7 is without question Church in These Streets. Dog, Trish. One song on there.
What's that?
Gold Bottles. I fuck with that. Nigga, that's where it ends. No anthems. Beats are trash. Not one rap feature on there. They had one. Not one. You gonna go from 0 to 100, 100 back to 0, bruh? He should. This is what this album was supposed to sound like. What that Sci High sound like? I said that when that came out. Church in the Streets with that title gives me the theme of Sci High's project. It would have made way more sense if he would have went that route. I'm not sure what he was going through at this time in 2015, but that album is garbage.
Jeezy can't rap like Sci High though. He can't go that route.
That's true.
That ain't his. That wasn't his.
Conceptually, he can, though. He can come up with song titles and song themes. He may not have the bars like Sci High, but
well, no, I don't even mean the bars.
Do.
I'm talking about the perspective. Like, Sci High came from a place of.
You paint that picture a little differently.
Yeah, like, Jesus, picture's not going to be like Sci High picture. So it would have been harder for him to do that shit now, still, probably. He still can't do that now.
No,
I ain't even talking about rap style. I'm talking about what he can and can't mention.
I feel like
it's a lot of stuff that he still ain't gonna bring to the table, as to where Sci High wasn't that deep into it. Not to knock him anything, but he can say a little bit more than Jesus allowed to
without getting niggas indicted.
Exactly.
My number 6 is Inspiration.
What?
His second album, bro.
Man, you crazy.
2006. He was feeling himself high off of that 101 momentum. He was feeling himself so much he had to go get production from Timberland. Whose idea was that? He had to go get the R. Kelly feature. Whose idea was that? And he stopped rhyming, dude. When the last time you listened to Inspiration? He is not rhyming on half of that project, bro. Why did he stop? He tried that for one album and then quit. Stop.
We not no MCs over here, man. Jesus not a rapper. We ain't got to rhyme. We spit bars.
Yes, you actually do
have motivational speak.
The whole concept of a bar is so that the end of the first bar rhymes with the end of the second.
Nah, you missed this. You off on this.
The song with T.I. was fire, though.
That ain't it. It's like two of Jeezy's best songs in his whole catalog on here.
Fire.
Yeah.
And the intro was, that's it.
No.
But that's it.
The realest.
That's okay.
No, it's not just
that's,
okay.
That's okay.
Shit banging.
That's okay.
Dreaming. Keisha Cole. Laced it.
You like Keisha Cole.
Banging.
You like Keisha Cole.
I do like Keisha Cole.
So that's why you like that song.
No, the song banging.
I'm good on that, though. But the nigga on here talking. Let me give you a sample bar from the Inspiration.
We don't want to hear your sample bars.
Sky's the limit, and the limit is the sky. Okay, Jordan. Stop, bro.
Give him some of that
the
fire.
The ceiling is the floor.
Give him some of the fire bars, though. You don't
no, it ain't
those
none.
Bars. Bury me a G ain't got fire bars.
Four shots to the chest. My niggas get at me. They done fucked around and fucked up my new white team. I'm just living my life. Why they mad at me? Woke up this morning. Even bust back, you ain't see me running. Hey! I hope we haven't got a VIP line. Got some partners in hell that'll sneak me in the back door. You know I hate waiting in line. Paramedics on the way, but they wasting their time. Everybody standing over, niggas screaming.
How many people have done that concept in rap, bro?
Who did it better than Jeezy, other than Pac?
T.I.
No.
What?
Because he stole Pac flow? He did it better because he sounded
no,
like Pac.
I'm not
Pac
saying.
Pac did it great.
No.
Jeezy had his own version and did great.
I'm
now
not
Pac,
saying.
Now T.I. sounded like Pac.
I'm not saying the literal name of the song. I'm saying the concept of him being him getting killed and dying. That's what the whole purpose of the song is.
Right.
T.I. did that on I Think These Niggas Robbing Me. I Hope This God Is It.
Get
he
out
did
of
the
here,
same
man.
Thing.
That ain't buried
that's
me
the same
G,
story,
though.
Bro.
It's not, bro. It's absolutely
T.I. did it way better.
T.I. song is better than this one, but they ain't the same thing. No, I don't do that.
Frying that's this.
Reach on Dennis Rodman.
What's your 5 and your 4?
Number 5, I got Trap or Die 3.
Okay.
Number four, no honorable mentions, nothing off Fetty Trap about these. Just the song with Bankroll was banging. I feel like that was a nice drop at that stage in Jeezy's career, just to let people know I still got it. I can put one on your head at any point in time. All the youngsters gonna fuck with me, whatever it is, because I still talk that talk. I like that. But it ranked low for me because it wasn't a consistent, solid project, what I expect from Jeezy. And now we get into the meat of it. I'm going to go number four.
Yep.
And that's Seen It All. That Seen It All project was pretty good.
It was.
Pretty good. It made me think that the church in the streets was going to be something more.
Killed you.
Than it was. Because I thought with that Seen It All autobiography, the single with Jay and the Holy Ghost with the remix with Kendrick. We was about to see a Jeezy that was getting ready to give us some, one of them classic albums to go on and bow out on, but that wasn't it.
Yeah. I'm close on yours. Number five on mine is Trap.3 as well. That's, of course, the one from last year. Got back to the Shawty Rare production, thank God. Fire single with Bankroll.
Yeah, single.
Fire. That shit was banging. Of course, another fire intro. That's a trend with Jeezy. A nigga intros be on point. That was a good project. I think it came and went kind of fast, even though that Bankroll song gave it a little bit of legs. And the joint with French Montana, that was pretty dope too. So it's a good project. It's right in the middle of the road of the Jeezy. And now, like you said, we finna get to the meat of things. Because my number four is TM103, 2011. This is Jeezy's last album to go gold.
What's the best song on it?
Probably the Jay and Andre joint. Or the Super Freak. My song on there is with Fab and Jay the Kiss, that OJ. Flex. Take cat nap. Wesley Snipes, motherfucker, it's the money train. Swear the work came faster than the money came. Sometimes the money be faster than the cars is. The feds ain't watching in them bars is. Could end any day, and you know better. Now you watch the Frito-Lay, yeah, you know cheddar. Double bag at the spot, luggage in the place. Louis V on deck, luggage on my waist. Fire!
They was ripping that.
Woo! That's banging. This project is fire, and my boy Freddie Gibbs came out and showed out on this motherfucker. 2011. This was right before he got that gig as A&R or vice president of A&R of Atlantic or wherever the fuck he was at. This was right before then, and he took a little hiatus after that. So that's a good project. Revisit that 103 if y'all ain't heard it in a minute.
Yeah, that song with Future was banging too.
That song with Future was trash. That shit was something. That shit was garbage. I'm gonna be real.
What we going? 3-2-1?
3-2-1. Talk to me. All
right, number three. Mine is an inspiration. I don't know what you were listening to, but I put that inspiration in the day. Took me instantly back.
It didn't inspire you at all.
Took me instantly back to when that came out, where I was, how what was going on. And when an album do that, when you put it in, like I went through the first eight, I was like, oh man, I remember when they was playing this here. Like, listen, that shit was fire. I didn't like it at first. Actually, I had it ranked like sixth.
Then
I listened to it today, and I moved it up because like he had hits on there. That Jeezy song.
That's banging though. Yeah, that's fall. That's
the third time you'd have called the police this week. Take your old ass asleep.
Yeah, that's hard.
Oh man, he bars.
That might have been one of the only times he rhymed on that whole project.
Nah, he was killing the whole project. So you need to go back and revisit that. That's number three for me. Number two.
Okay.
This is gonna be controversial. And the only reason that I got it at number two because I went back and listened to it today. 101 got the anthems on there. That's what made Jeezy. That's what made me a fan. But I put it at number two because the recession, the quality of the songs and how they were put together was so much better to me, which is my number one, spoiler alert. Mm. But going back to 101, never have I seen an album, other than Get Rich or Die Trying probably, be played in every car going up and down the street where we were from.
At the same damn
time. Like every car, any door that opened was one song off either that 101. Or, well, later on, it was 50 Cent with the Get Rich or Die Trying. But prior to that, this 101 was the one that I seen. So it had a heavy impact that way. It made me want to put it as one. But going back and listening to the music quality and how Jeezy was just ripping everything, and even the time period, like to take what was going on as far as the recession. Like, if you listen back to that CD now, you remember like what they were talking about in the news and all of this stuff with the recession. And like, he got songs catering to that. That album, The Recession, like, that's a masterpiece. That's a classic for Jeezy. So that's my number one in his whole archive.
All right, so my 3, 2, and 1. Number 3 is Seen It All, man, from 2014. All the songs you mentioned, Seen It All with Jay, Holy Ghost, obviously. I fucked that Me Okay. That's the anthems that we're used to. The Beautiful with Game and Ross. Great production. I really like the album cover, too. I know that's random and doesn't have anything to do with the music, but I think the album cover is lit. So Seen It All, I was fucking with that heavy. Number 2 is The Recession. That's the true number 2 in his catalog. Mm. Yes, it has Fire on it. I put on My President. I put on might have put Kanye on the South single-handedly. Like, that song is so fucking amazing, and Kanye murdered it.
That's one of the best Kanye verses ever.
See, like, why?
That ain't one of the best Kanye. That ain't one of the best Kanye verses ever?
No, man, he got the auto-tune and shit. No, I wouldn't say that, though. He killed it. And if you listen to what he's saying and explain how he act the way he act now.
That's why it's one of the best verses ever.
It make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
The Crazy World, Who That, all that shit. Anthems galore. Like, let's get that out the way. Oh. I will say it's a little too long, though.
No.
It's a lot of tracks on that motherfucker.
And all of them banging.
All 20 are not banging.
Yeah, they are.
But I will say this. A lot of tracks is too long. Mm. But I didn't like this at first because I thought the first 7 songs sounded slick alike. Because Jeezy picks a lot similar beats, dude. He love them horns. He love the 808s hidden. Sometimes it can get a little muddy. I don't know which song I'm listening to. Are we on 2 or are we on 7? Which one?
Jeezy know what his fans want. When he need to give you a hit, he can still give you R.I.P.
Okay.
R.I.P. I straight killed the club.
Yeah, that was hard.
Jeezy can do all that, man.
What, number one, though, obviously, is TM101. For all the shit you said, the impact that it had on the game, the people that came and followed after it, obvious bangers on there, Standing Ovation, that's probably my favorite song, Bottom of the Map. And it's funny you mentioned that you listened to You Had to Run It Back. Does it still hold up in 2017? I know you put it number 2.
Easily.
Okay.
Easily holds up. Like, you could, like, you run, that's another one. You run that back into the instant and put you where you were when that came out.
See, that's,
like,
not, see, that's different.
Nostalgia.
That's different from holding up, though, because a nigga could play that Nauseamatic and say, it's taking me back to where I was when it came out. Like, come on now.
To me, and the reason that I'd say what I said about a Nauseamatic album is, sonically, the music don't hold up. I don't like that type of music. Like, how he was rapping on there, like the boom bap. Like, I don't do that. The reason that the Jeezy holds up for me, I still like those horns, those beats, those ad libs. Like, I like that. So it's going to hold up for me. Like, I can, somebody could tell me an old, Mac Master P album don't hold up. I still like that.
I can still
listen to those songs. So I could see what someone would say that. The nostalgia plays a part in it, but I still feel like Jeezy sonically held up both albums, that Recession and it's a Recession finna be 10 years old.
That's crazy. He need to do a concert for that.
He can do that whole CD, too.
Hey, he going on tour with his project. He going to be here in March. You fucking with him? Tabernacle?
I got to see how this sounds. If it's church in the streets, I'm not going.
Oh, my God. This is how I know it's not going to be church in the streets. Because of the features, bro. When he has features, I think Jeezy needs good features. I can't listen. He doesn't flip his flow up enough. And he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's not one of the rappers like Kendrick that can change their voice and sound different on other tracks.
Okay.
He's not that person. Those ad libs, you can only listen to them but so many times in a row, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to switch up that monotony, I think it's big for him to have features, especially in the position he's in. He can get a Kendrick and a Cole on the same song. He can get a Jay-Z and Andre 3000. You need to pull those strings, kind of like how Ross do. I think Ross mixes his feature game up. Every time a new Ross come out, he got an off the wall Erykah Badu, fucking Andre 3000, all them type off the wall but like classic features. Jeezy need to pull that car more, and don't give me church in the streets with no features.
That's cool for Rick Ross, though, because Ross
Jeezy can do that too.
That's not him. That's not what Jeezy is, though.
He's done it before, though, bro.
Not to the extent of what you're talking about with Ross is what I'm trying to say. So what I feel like, The reason that I say I won't need no features, that I don't know if I've said this on here before, but my vision or what I would see for Jeezy if I were A&R his project to close out, as opposed to this one with all the features, then let's take it back to day one, like T.I. wanted to do with Death of the King, like Jay kind of came full circle with 444 from Reasonable Doubt. Close it up with like the BMF American Gangster type album. Get with 50, do that whole soundtrack, do songs closing out that chapter of the nostalgia and the mysteriousness that was that. I think a lot more people will be tuned into that and be turned on to what made Jeezy so hot in the first place. Like, I don't need him to get in there and get in his bag and do the whole Rick Ross thing and put these beautiful songs together. Like, I'm not expecting that from Jeezy. I'm expecting him to go in there, talk shit, drop some game on us for the people that's listening for what he talking, and then he out of there. Like, even though he's done it, like you said, and he's done it great, I don't really necessarily expect him to get in there and have Chrisette, Michelle, and Drake on a song.
That should be hard, though.
It'll be fire, maybe. But, like, he's trying it with this one, and I'm cool. I'm going to rock with it because I'm a Jeezy fan. But I would much rather have, an album titled BMF, something like that American Gangster that Hov did. I would need that. That'll be my perfect Jeezy album, actually.
Did you learn anything from revisiting these albums? Anything about his catalog? Where his legacy stands as it stands today with these seven projects?
Jeezy probably a lot better rapper than people give him credit for. I will say that.
Really?
Listening to The Recession.
When did it start?
The Recession is best tape lyrically. Trap or Die 3 is pretty good. And then the mixtapes. Mixtapes he rapping like Trap or Die 2.
Trap or Die 2 is so slept on.
Trap or Die 2 was banging, and Trapping Ain't Dead. Those two, most definitely. So if y'all ain't heard those two, definitely check out the mixtape. I know, especially the one. I know y'all heard of I Am the Street Dream.
Clearly.
Trap or Die. But Trap or Die 2 and Trapping Ain't Dead, I think those two slept on ones for me.
That's respectable.
He started rapping his ass off on Trapping Ain't Dead.
I think Jeezy, the one thing I learned is that anthems are his thing, and it's really hard to make a whole project full of anthems. It's really hard to make that work, because I don't know anybody that wants to hear 1 through 16 anthems. Like, it's just the shit that works well is the Shorty Red joints, the high energy joints. Like, bro, that's so hard to make a whole project with.
That's tough. Well, you
like,
can't.
Bro, it's tough to do that, man. Like, it's just not, bro. He doesn't have the versatility to hold 18 songs, bro. Not Dolo, especially not Dolo.
If you're doing a whole anthem album, you can't get before 14 on there before people get tired of it. Man, I think the perfect one. And he probably the only person that can do this, that can perform an album and they all anthems, is at Kanye West, The Graduation. He can go one to the end on that. In any stadium.
Stadium music.
Yeah, he can one to the end on that. But what I was going to say, another thing that I found out going back and listening to it, the best intro that Jeezy has done.
Ooh.
That Real Is Back intro on that Real Is Back mixtape. We got the blue hoodie on and that Real Is Back is in yellow.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh my God, he killed that.
Yeah. Now his mixtape game, what's
God, he killed that intro.
What's better, his mixtape catalog or his album catalog?
Easy mixtape.
Really?
Easy mixtape.
He got more than 4 good mixtapes?
Yeah. He got like 19 mixtapes, no?
I don't believe that, though.
Jeezy got way more than 4 good mixtapes. Y'all tell me y'all favorite Jeezy intro. I'm going with that Real Is Back on the Real Is Back mixtape. You can go album, or you can go
mixtape.
Y'all go to the rap chat. Let us know your favorite Jeezy intro.
Absolutely,
since
man.
Since we revisiting the catalog.
Now, let's for the music break, let's keep it down here in Atlanta, Clayton County.
Ooh.
Derez Deshawn, all right, new artist coming up out of the A. He's got a very big record that's brewing. It's called Hardaway. Let's check it out, see what it's hitting on.
I ain't asked now, nigga, for nothing. I took the heart away. 12 put me over, call me with the dope. They took my heart away. Heart away. Heart away. Heart away. Y'all been it hard away. Y'all been it hard away. In the skillet whipping magic. Bad bitches, bad habits. Yeah, the money gotta have it. I used to dream of living lavish. Now nigga living lavish. Buying phone with to see what's fast. If I ain't eating, then I'm fasting, yeah. Fatty fuck, bought a coupe, jerk to see if I could fit in, yeah. It didn't work, so I gave it to one of my bitches. I should have jumped out of bed. Get what I did, huh? Woke up the next day, went by the bed. Me and my kid. I took the hard way.
Didn't know how to sell crack, I was giving that heart away. So fucked up, I had to borrow play. That shit took my heart away. But I've been through harder days. Fuck that, I was just in New York in the Hummer, looking for trouble. Respect, I ain't asked now, nigga, for nothing. I took the heart away. So they put me over, coming with the dope.
They took my heart away. How you feel about Derez Deshaun Hardaway, man?
I like Derez Deshaun. I was in the Uber this week. A cat said he was listening to one of the songs. I asked him who it was, but he was listening to the whole tape.
Okay.
He told me to check it out. He said he was going hard on he also said that Rollo motivated him.
Motivated who?
Got my Uber driver. He said Rollo with the dog food.
How did he motivate him?
He motivates him, man. He said that he was at one point in his life, he was over 200, close to 300 pounds. And now he's lost over 100 pounds and he's in shape. And every day while he was losing his weight, he listened to Rollo. Y'all don't know who Rollo is, man. Y'all look up Rollo. See how he could motivate you to lose weight maybe too. But shout out to the Uber driver, man. He was a young cat, man. He's a big fan of Rollo.
Clearly.
He's a big fan of this guy. What's his name?
Derez Deshaun.
Derez Deshaun. And he liked Lil Baby too.
Okay.
Okay.
So y'all check. We don't play. We've played all three of them,
yeah,
actually.
All of them. We own it. We own it for the young guys. We got y'all.
But I do like that. And he's working with Birdman. He's working with Envy right now.
Oh, man.
So it should be.
He working with Birdman or he working with Envy?
Both.
He ain't going to make no money. Man, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, man. He's working. He's not on papers or nothing, but he just, you know. He was there when Birdman was at Breakfast Club.
I just don't.
He was standing right there with him.
Is it?
So is Rollo, by the way.
Yeah, tough. Is Envy going to pay people?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
He getting this song popping. It's on satellite radio and everything.
Yeah, dude. It's banging.
You know what I'm saying? But shout out to Derez Deshaun, man. It's a good song. I fuck with it. I'm going to check the tape out. All right. Question of the week.
All right.
A lot of projects came out last weekend. Let me give you a refresher of some of the joints that dropped. Big Sean and Metro Boomin. Kendrick dropped The Damn in Reverse. Crooked Eye. T Grizzly and Dirk. Juicy J. Quality Control. Static Selector. Harry Fraud. There's a lot of shit that dropped.
It was.
Now, a lot of people, like you said, were going in on Big Sean. He was the headliner of that, and they were going in on him. So I can imagine what they said about everything else. Does a weekend full of mediocre music throw this year off any at all?
Absolutely not. Too many titans came out this week. I mean, I feel like at this point in time, if you ain't found nothing this year that you like, there's something wrong with you.
Now, just listen to another. Listen to country. Just check
or
that out.
Go do spoken word or
all that. Read a book.
To just podcast.
Yeah, that too.
But yeah, this has something for everybody. I think that Big Sean tried it and he seen what trying it to get you. Don't play with people, like especially in this year of greatness where you think you can just throw out this Metro Boomin trap. Well, excuse me, this Metro Boomin tracks, and think people are just gonna forgive you for these lackluster rhymes. Big Sean is better than this.
Yeah,
and I just feel like the people are holding him to a higher level than they used to when he was dropping Detroit mixtapes, and he has to realize that.
So I think that it's kind of the trendy thing to do on social media when Big Sean comes out, because they've done this before, where they go through some of his punchlines that may have been reaches, and they make jokes out of them, like, this is when I turned the album off, when he said I turned the I canceled my subscription to Tidal. Okay, all that is funny. Reminds me a lot of when people were joking on the Pac movie and they said, I walked out of Pac when he pulled out an iPhone 8.
Or I fell asleep listening to the J. Cole.
All of that. All of that was funny. It's
that
cute.
The nap music.
All of that. But it's also an exaggeration to make a joke, and that's fair. Big Sean, like any other lyrical rapper, doesn't hit on 100% of his punchlines. Nobody in history has done so. So you're going to get some reaches, especially if you're putting them in text and not in the like the context of the song and saying them verbally over a hard ass beat. Like a lot of times you need that context to get some of the bars. If I can take a dope bar and read it slow like this and then it sounds stupid as fuck. So I think Big Sean gets a lot of unnecessary hate. I think he's dope. I thought the project was fine.
You know why he get that hate?
Please explain why he get that hate.
He calls himself Big Sean and he little.
I mean, it's an oxymoron.
And throw people off. it make it easy to hate you. Like, if it's easy to hate on somebody, like you're going to look at him first, like, you know, why he call himself Big Sean? And then it's just,
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. But the floodgates open from there.
Well, fair or foul. I still think he's dope. Actually, some of these projects, I like the Teen Grizzly Lil Durk project. I listen to that. I try to listen to as much as I could. It was way too much.
I listened to the Teen Grizzly Lil Durk.
I like Teen Grizzly, though. He switched his little flow up on here. It's pretty solid.
I like Teen Grizzly, too.
That's what I'm saying. Now, the QC project was some slaw.
I liked it.
It was 30 tracks, bro.
Yeah.
No.
Was some on there for you?
No.
Yeah, it's some on there for everybody.
Did you hear Cardi B verse on there?
I did not.
Man, please listen to the...
She was some slaw.
Oh my god! Cardi B sounded like how I imagined her sounding like when I heard she rapped. That it sounded like she just learned how to rap yesterday on that verse. I was like, dude, what the fuck is this?
Well, a lot of those songs sound alike too. But I get
that's
their
a fact.
Point. Like that's a throwaway album, right? That's to keep QC in the streets. That's a tax write off at the end of the year.
Okay, all right, fair.
Like that's just to get the last little thing. That's why everybody throwing these 15th albums out there, I feel like.
Get these little streams.
Yeah, get these last little streams for the end of the year. Get taxes right before you got to close your books. You know what I'm saying? But
I don't think it throws off this year either.
No, I ain't mad at the QC project either. No, I don't think it throws off this year at all.
I don't. Way too much heat. In about a week or two, we're going to do our top 10 albums of the year. I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, y'all go vote on the awards.
Please, if you listened to the episode last week, thank you. Number two, go vote on Twitter right now. I got the link to the Twitter vote on Facebook in the group, yep. The Rap Chat. We'll probably put some on IG up as well, but you can vote. Thank you for everybody that's voted so far. Shout out to the home, my girl up in Jersey for putting that poll together. Good looking. We appreciate that.
Yep.
So, yeah, everybody vote, man. Now, new music out again this weekend. 10 more projects. You ready for this?
Let's hear it.
Jeezy, Pressure, can't wait. Eminem, Revival, I can wait. G-Eazy, not to be confused with Jeezy. The Beautiful and the Damned.
So disrespectful trying to drop on the same day as my boy.
Boosie, trying to confuse people.
Let's go, Boopop.
And that's going to be the first thing you listen to. You're going to be so disappointed in that.
I'm definitely listening to that first.
Double disc? Bruh. Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm finna listen to that letter to Webber as soon as we get through recording.
Oh my god. Nobody deserves to drop a double disc in 2017, I'm gonna be honest. It's just no point, bro. I wouldn't suggest that.
Chris Brown just dropped 45 songs.
No one should drop. That's a triple disc. What is he thinking? That's the streaming age, bro. The more tracks you bring, that you drop, the more streams you get. No, bro. I'm straight. Nobody needs a double disc. We not there no more. We in a digital age. It don't even impact the same.
Boosie said he's still making hard copies of this.
Who's buying the hard copies of the Boosie project, bro?
In his interview, he said his fans, the people, his core fan base, right. They go buy CDs and open it up and read it and the plastic and all of that stuff.
You gonna go buy it?
Absolutely not. I will stream it. I'm going to stream it, though.
Skyface, Deeply Rooted, Lost Files.
That was the album of the year. That Deeply Rooted 1 was the album of the year that year. In 15 when it came out.
That's debatable.
No, it's not. But that was my favorite album of the year when it came out, so I'm definitely ready for this. One of my favorite things in rap still to this day.
Old rappers?
No, hearing Scarface coming cleaning up any beat that he get on. That's what's still one of my favorite things in rap is seeing featuring Scarface.
He can do that too. Don't get it twisted.
Tough.
Slim Thug dropping The World Is Yours.
All right.
My guy.
Let's go, Thugger.
That's it for now.
Yeah.
Nigga, now by Friday, 10 more people might have announced. I know Wayne dropping on Christmas. You ready for that? He clearly listened to the episode, heard we had him on the Milk Carton of the Year Award. He's like, okay, y'all got jokes. I'm dropping.
No.
Dedication 6.
Man, let me tell you, ain't nobody checking for this.
Wayne still moved the needle a little bit, though.
He need a song. He got to test the water.
Yeah, you're right. He need a song. That's a fact.
He got to test the water.
We'll see what that motherfucker hitting on. Man, what you got on deck for the weekend?
Slow Motion Billy Ocean getting ready for these holidays, man. You know.
You got your Christmas shopping done? Cake and
partially.
Santa the caker.
Partially. Tis the season. You got your Christmas shopping done?
Yeah, nigga. I'm one like 96, nigga. I'm shopping for my goddamn
one
self.
One like 96.
Absolutely. Santa came through for a real nigga. Good looking Santa.
I just called Mike for those. That was easy. Shout out to the plug, man. Shout out Cakes, man.
Oh shit. Nah, what am I doing? I'm finish up the Spike Lee joint. I'm gonna finish that up.
You ain't looking forward to doing that this weekend.
I am.
You're not, absolutely.
It's part of my weekend, man.
NFL on Saturday this weekend.
Really?
Yep, Saturday football.
Man, matter of fact, my fantasy football playoffs, I'm in it, number one seed, of course. Had a bye week. lost Carson Wentz for the fucking season. Now I'm scrambling trying to find out who gonna be my goddamn quarterback, man.
Any more nobody cares news?
God damn.
Or is that it?
That's I'm hot about that, it? Man.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you what I've been watching. It's
my
been
money
slick
league,
funny.
Man. Goddamn.
Dude, if anybody watches Deezus and Mero and agrees with me, dude,
that shit trash.
They have gotten so much better. I was crying the other night watching that shit, dude.
That shit trash. One of them funny.
They had Pastor Carl Wentz on there.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Pastor Carl Wentz is?
Who the fuck is that?
Yeah, we out, y'all.
Who the fuck? Who is that?
You don't know who Pastor Carl Wentz is?
Nigga, no, motherfucker. Who is
up,
that?
Man. You gotta look him up, dude.
I don't want to. Man, and why is he on Deezus and Mero? And why are they on TV?
Why? They don't do Deezus and Mero like that.
Them niggas corny, bro.
Nah, they fine.
Bro, I ain't watched it in a minute, though, to be fair.
Yeah, it's actually funny. They got better writers now.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Check out Pastor Carl Wentz, man.
I won't.
Shout out the movement.
I won't. Alright man, we'll see y'all next week. Don't forget, go vote on Twitter at On Deck TV Podcast. Follow us on IG, like, subscribe, and rate on iTunes. Holla.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.